I went on telly calling him a liar. You know what I mean? It was like, you couldn't apologise.
He said, look, I ain't fucking singing and stop trying to fucking make me. So I said, what club in here don't you like? So he said, the 8 Iron. He said, I couldn't hit it all day. He said, I said, well, that's come with me.
My moods can turn so, like, where I couldn't get out of bed.
Do you know now when it's coming and how to come out of it?
I spoke to him about 6 weeks later and said, like, you knew what happened. Why did you let me get away with that? He said, son, I had Romario, you're nothing.
Yeah.
That's okay, I'm okay with that, though. It's not an issue for me, honestly.
Doesn't sound all right.
No, but it was what it was. I shouldn't have said it. That's the fact of it all.
I remember his, but his first speech is like, I'm here to win stuff.
This club hasn't won anything for 50-odd years.
I'm looking around like that.
We're off to see Craig Bellamy, somebody that I bumped into at the Vincent Kompany episode of The Overlap. And he was a little bit chirpy, as he always was on the pitch, so I thought he'd be a really good person to have a sit down with and go through his career, his trials and tribulations on and off the pitch, and obviously his movement into coaching. I don't know Craig Bellamy that well, but one thing I do know about him is that every time he speaks, he's engaging, he's compelling, and he's honest.
Talking about Newcastle, obviously there's two managers there, Bobby Robson.
Yeah, amazing.
Obviously. A legend, and then at the end it was Graeme Souness. But let's start with Bobby Robson and how that was for you.
He tried to sign me the year before, but I went to Coventry because there was a problem with Duncan Ferguson was at Newcastle at the time. They couldn't quite get him out.
Right.
The deal with Newcastle and Everton wasn't quite. It was back and forth, and I was waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
But then Coventry coming in between that, and I remember speaking to Gordon Strachan, and he was like, look, I know, really, if I'm being honest, of course you should go to Newcastle.
Yeah.
But I believe this year, you've just done your cruciate, you've just come back. I feel this year, I'll be able to coach you in a way that'll benefit you for the rest of your career. And do you know what? He was so right. Coventry didn't get the benefit for me.
Yeah.
I was up and down my performances. I wasn't particularly good, but I learned so much with Gordon Strachan. So by the time I went to Newcastle then, because Bobby wanted me the first time around, and still, you know, lucky enough for me, still came in. I come a much better player than I would have been first time round.
Yeah.
You know, movement and all that type of stuff. A lot of stuff that was coached to me by Gordon Strachan, and I had going into that. So being with Sir Bobby then was like, it's an honour anyway. Do you understand what I mean? Because
did he feel like an honour at the time?
Yeah, it did, yeah. Because I know all the players he's coached, and obviously I grew up watching 1990, then you sort of learn a little bit more before, you know, like your Robsons and everything like that with 86, 88. So it sort of like was a bit of a boost of like, he's willing to buy me, he must rate me. If this guy rates me, then I must be a good player.
Yeah.
At a time, probably I really needed it as well. So I went there with like that confidence, but also with a didn't give a shit attitude either. It was like, if I'm going to play in front of 50,000, then I better be ready. Like, you know, I got Shearer, who you have to impress.
Yeah.
Because you don't speak to him unless you impress him. So I had the first couple of weeks where, like, didn't even look at me, you know, didn't say hi. There was no, like, welcome or anything like that. It was like, he'd only speak to me if I'm a good player, so I better be a good player then. And really focused on that. And then it was just, it just went from there, started well. And do you know when you go and in a place like that?
Would you say it's the most stable you were during your career there?
It was where I really took off, do you understand? Yeah. I really found a level of, I can be a good player in this league.
Yeah.
Because you always have those doubts. Yeah. So it really gave me a confidence of not being able to look back from. But also, a lot of it was down to him as well. Because the confidence he would give you, even before games, you know, he would speak to you in a manner of like, whoever you were up against, they're terrified to play against you.
Yeah.
You know, and so you felt like you were this way, you know, and probably I carry that confidence too much, you know, because like that confidence followed me off the pitch as well.
Yeah.
Where he made you feel like such a good footballer.
Yeah.
To this day, a lot of what I use in terms of how I speak to people, in terms of how I treat people, is a lot from what I learned off him. I remember once I got involved in an incident and it was my fault. Completely my fault. I had cameras outside my house then in the morning.
Was it always your fault?
Sometimes it wasn't, honestly, but this one was.
So what was it? Go on, tell us what the story.
I still keep working out what was the thing behind it. But I know there was the incident, and it hit the news. So I go into training, the manager wants to speak to me. But don't forget, my psyche then is like, I've been getting abused nonstop. I'm not going to take this either. So I go into the manager's office and I'm straight away thinking, like, if he starts blaming me now, I'm going to have a go straight back, you know, because I'm not accepting it. So he comes in, asks my version of events. So I told him the events that weren't quite...
Rough version.
Yeah, a rough version of events. But you know what? He blamed every single person apart from me, you know? Just completely like, we love you here and this. Completely diffused me. So I end up walking out thinking, like, what's just gone on? And he knew everything that went on.
Right. So he knew you were bullshitting, basically.
He knew it. But he knew me. If he would have gone at me, he could have lost me, you know, or he could have.
Yeah, yeah.
And by being experienced. And I remember I spoke to him about 6 weeks later and said, like, you knew what happened.
Yeah.
I said, why did you let me get away with that? He said, Sam.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I had Romario, you're nothing. He said, it's just experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He said, you've got a good heart. He said, yeah. He said, I know that.
How did it end at Newcastle? So Graeme Souness came in. I suspect that was obviously a different style of management than Bobby Robson.
Yeah.
Did that just, was it a conflict? Is that how it ended? Or was it a case of just right for both parties?
No, it turned out a big conflict. Self-inflicted as well.
From you?
Like, terrible. I look back now, you're talking about the Sancho and Ten Hag problem. This is nothing. This could be solved very quick, you know, as it was gone, like it was, and my fault.
Did he ask you to apologise for something?
I went on telly calling him a liar. You know what I mean? It was like, you couldn't apologise. It was like,
so go on,
what was I thinking?
Take us through that, go on.
It was...
Graeme didn't like that, did he not?
No. I remember his, but his first speeches, like, it was like, you know, I'm here to win stuff. If you don't want to win anything, there's the door, get out.
Right.
And I remember thinking, like,
it's a bit like he's on telly.
This club hasn't won anything for 50 odd years. I'm looking around like, this is like, I'm interested now, you know what I mean? I'm like, but no, because I want to as well,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
And he was like, honestly, he was a good guy. And I mean that. At times I didn't feel he handled situations right. I thought he had to make an impact. There was like myself, Kieran, Laurent Robert, Jermaine Jenner. So we had a little group of young players who were sort of, we're not like you guys during the summer. You're winning. Mm. You're winning trophies. You've got a lot to talk about. And if you're going to be in the news, then you're going to be in the news because you're at the top. You're doing it. But we were creating news and we were winning nothing.
Were you going out at that time? Sort of, we were socialising.
Yeah. We were socialising quite a bit. And I didn't like that. So I can only imagine what other people thought.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine what Graeme thought.
Yeah.
You know, it was like who like, because he's won everything, which he'll tell you a few times about. But he was like, he was like, who do you lot think you are? And I understood that as well.
So
he's
basically just trying to,
not
control you, I suppose, make you more disciplined.
Yeah, I agree. We had Patrick Kluivert there at the time as well, who had no interest in being disciplined.
And were you easily led? Or were you one of the leaders of that group?
No, I've never looked at it that way. Was I afraid of missing out? Yes.
Yeah.
I was afraid of missing out. would you say I was easily led? Yeah, probably. But I'd also dictate as well, you know what I mean? Going back to Suey, like it was, we weren't going through a good stage at the time as well. That was the reason why Bobby went.
Yeah.
The results weren't, and there wasn't a sudden turn of results either.
Yeah.
He wanted to bring his own players in as well. I knew we needed to get players out. We were struggling for right wingers, and I remember him like speaking to me saying, like, look, can you do a job for me on the wing? And I've played on a wing for Wales, like played right, played left. I never played up top for Wales, so I always played on the wing, so I could I could play on a wing. Then an article came out saying they'd listened to offers for me. So I'm not happy now. I'm like, well, I've been playing on a wing.
Yeah.
Doing like you a favour and also doing the team a favour, and now you're willing to listen to offers for me in January. So I said, well, do you know, you can go and get someone else to play on the wing on Saturday.
So you went and saw him?
No, I didn't go and see him, but I said it too loud.
What do you mean you said it too loud?
I said it wrong players. Without... So as I'm reading it,
okay,
I'm like, well, you can go and get another winger then.
And that was, that was in the dressing room?
That was at the breakfast canteen.
With other coaches in the room?
No, no. Other players.
Other players? Yeah. So you think that got back?
I know it got back.
From where?
Alan and Shiri, yeah. Yeah. So that's okay. I'm okay with that, though. It's not an issue for me, honestly. So,
doesn't sound all right.
No, but it was what it was. You know what I mean? It's not, I'm not going to like, it's, because would I be that happy if I would have heard that? Yeah. Maybe and maybe not. So I shouldn't have said it. That's just, that's the fact of it all. So then as training finishes, manager walks in, I'm walking out. He goes, me and you, we're going to see the chairman.
All right.
So no problem. So as he's speaking to the chairman then, he's like, did you like feign an injury? And I said, no, I've not feigned an injury. I'm fine. I'm fully fit. So he goes, well, why are you telling people now you're not going to be able to play on Saturday? I said, I'm fully fit to play Saturday. So he goes, well, that's not what I hear. I said, well, I said, hold on a second. I've just looked at these papers because the chairman always had this group of like a list of papers. I said, why is he writing stories you know would come from him that they're willing to listen to offers for me?
So in front of the chairman, you've accused the manager of leaking stories to the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not going to end well, is it?
Not going to end well. So just one stupid move after the stupid move of 24 hours.
Was that the end? When you saw that article that morning, you go in the training, you feel like that was the end? How long was it after that before it
actually... Well, we had Arsenal on the Saturday. And then as we played Arsenal, we travelled down. I wasn't on the bench.
Did he say anything to you, Graham?
No. He pulled me just to the side, just said, you're not going to be on the bench today. So I knew then something's not sitting right here. I haven't got a clue. I've got a good idea what's going to happen. So as the game went on, we lose 1-0. Then suddenly it comes out, I refuse to play. That's what it was put out, like I refuse to play. I didn't. I said, someone else can go and play on the wing on Saturday instead of me.
So from that statement you made in the canteen?
Yeah, canteen. So it looks like I'm refusing to play in a position. Then I'd come and give my version of events, saying, no, I didn't refuse to play. Straight away. Why am I here if I refuse to play? Which I really should shut your mouth. Know your role as a player. Then day later, I think it's even better idea to actually do a one-on-one interview with Sky again.
How
did accuse
that go?
Him of lying.
You
that he's not telling the truth.
Right. So you called him a liar live on television.
Yeah. And honestly, so stupid. You wouldn't believe how many people warned me about doing it. Said, don't do it. What are you doing? And I single-mindedly, stubbornness, thought, no, I'm going to go and do it my way.
Right.
And from that moment, I just, like, I had to go into training, train completely separate from everyone else. Do you know, we both could have gone on so much better than what we did. It just turned out, I don't feel he helped himself as well by confronting and really attacking stuff. But maybe that's just how he was. But I also learned a lesson as well of like, you know, is for me, it was like, what are you thinking? I don't know. I even to this day do not know what I'm thinking. I moved away from a football club I loved playing for.
Yeah.
And I couldn't come back to it.
So you've carried on thinking about
on thinking about it. It's like festering in my head. More drinks then coming into my head. I had one incredibly insane moment.
I was worried about bringing the golf clubs out over here, to be honest with you. Take us to Liverpool.
Yep.
Rafa Benitez.
Yeah.
And how that experience was for you.
You know, Liverpool poster on my bedroom wall every single year. That poster you got from Toys R Us, that was there. So to get the privilege of being able to play for him was like, I had to do this. And even though I was very happy at Blackburn at the time, so I spoke to Mark Hughes, who was actually not that happy for me. It was like, I thought he would be, but he said something that was really interesting. He was like, I know who you are. I know how Liverpool play and I know how, this is not a good move for you.
He said, style of play.
Yeah, he said, then you're not going to enjoy it.
The Benitez style.
Exactly that, yeah. He said, you won't enjoy it.
Did you enjoy it?
No, really didn't.
Too rigid?
Very rigid.
How did he manage you? How did your man manage you? What was his sort of approach to you?
His was...
Were you spiky? I mean, obviously, you were spiky at times.
Yeah,
there.
But not as much, honestly. Right. It was like that. I had one incredibly... insane moments.
I was worried about bringing the golf clubs out over here, to be honest with you. I was like, keep them away from us.
Yeah, but I had one moment.
Talk us about that. Tell us what happened there. We know the outcome, but what?
No, it was, we were going to play Barcelona in the Champions League. So we went to Portugal for a training camp, which is not uncommon. So towards the end of it, we were allowed a night out. But before that, we trained, and then we could play golf. And I didn't really play golf then. I was only really played golf after my football career. So as we were playing golf, it was me, Robbie Fowler, and John Anarisa. I think Steve Finnan was with us as well. And I questioned some of his golf shots or where the ball ended up, where I thought it ended up.
John Anarisa.
Yeah.
You felt he was throwing the ball, moving the ball.
I felt there were certain areas where I thought I seen it go somewhere and it ended up in a much better position. And I started to get a little bit worried when it was in the woods, but it was on a tee. But it was just, and it wound me up a little bit anyway. It was like, generally, like I said to Finney, he's cheating. And Finney said, oh, don't worry about it, just leave it. So anyway, during the night then.
A few drinks.
A few drinks. And then it was like karaoke songs because we had like Mascherano signed for us and one or two new players had to sing a song, part of initiation. But he had to sing a song because we had a Christmas do and he didn't turn up on a Christmas do. He said he was going back to Norway,
right.
But he didn't go back to Norway. We found out he didn't like, so anyway, that part of his punishment was by the captain. Yeah, he had to sing a song as well as pay a fine. So as it's going round, so I'm there going, well, you've got to sing. So he's like, dead against it. And do you know when someone's dead against something, doesn't want to do it? I seem to want to push it more then. Like, no, you have to. Then it keeps going back and forth. No, And then he got a little bit, he said, look, I ain't fucking singing. And stop trying to fucking make me. So I've sort of took offense. And he said something a little bit more to that in terms. So I'm with then Sammy Ipia. And as we're like there, this is going on, I'm getting more and less happy with it. So he's gone, and the more it's gone on, I'm like, I'm not accepting that.
So you've carried on thinking about it?
Carried on thinking about it. It's like festering in my head, more drinks then coming into my head. I'm not like using that as an excuse, but it was
so
like...
So usually time would calm you down.
Time got worse. But then I remember little moments where he elbowed me in training. Do you know all the little petty stuff? And I'm like, this has been going on for a while now, which you just exaggerate even more.
Yeah.
So Stephen and me and him were sharing like rooms. We go back. I've said to him, like, I'm not having this. Like, where's his room? So he goes, I don't know. I said, well, whose room with him? He said, Daniel Agger. I said, give Daniel a ring. So Daniel will give him a ring. What room? Like, so Finn's found, like, Steve's found out what room he's in. So I've said, what club in here don't you like? So he said, the 8-iron. He said, I couldn't hit it all day. I said, well, that's coming with me. So he's gone, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go and find him. So he's gone, oh, Bellas, you can't. I said, oh, listen, you either stay here or I'm going. So he goes, I'm coming. So he's come with me. So I knocked the door. And I'm quite embarrassed about this. This is not a good moment at all. And I really mean that. But I understand the question, so I have to answer it. Mm. Because once you have to own it, do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a ridiculously pathetic act that it'd be unfair for me to not want to like talk about it. Because, and I'm not proud when I say it or when I have to talk about it, but I have to own it. Do you understand what I mean? So so I knocked the door, no answer, knocked the door again, and then he leaves the door on the latch because he thinks it's Daniel Agger. So he's gone back into bed. So I come in, turn the light on, then I've swore a hell of a lot at him. People think like I smacked him across his legs, which is still not a good thing to do, don't get me wrong. There was no like smacking across the head or anything like that. I smacked him across the legs. Then he got into the corner, got the sheets like and the bedding around him. And then I just said like, you ever speak to me like that in front of people again? Mm. I said, I'm telling you now, I escalated to more what I was going to say. Then it started turning, because when I was drunk, I started turning into like a riddle, where if you're unhappy with this, you better come and see me tomorrow morning, you know? So he said, okay. So I turned that into like, what do you mean? So you want it now? And it just like, so Vinny like was just hiding behind the light, and it was just the most insane thing ever. And then I got out of there. As I'm just about to enter my hotel room, players are coming back. So they all steam into our room, trash our room, because it was like one of these double floors in Portugal. So like you're dead. And then downstairs is the kitchen type of area. So in the morning, Steve like comes into my room, says, look, Paco and Rafa are downstairs. They want to see you. I go downstairs, there's plates everywhere. And he's looking around like that. And then he goes, tell me what happened. He tells him what happened. Then
truth?
I have to go.
You told him the truth?
Yeah, I told him the truth. Yeah, he was like, I couldn't get out of this one. It was not even. But I thought I was all right. Believe it or not, right? Because there was a madder story that went on before it. Like Jerzy Dudek was out in the evening that same night. And he was told to leave the bar, wouldn't leave. They brought the security in, then brought the police in. Then as he's being wrestled by the police, he headbutts a security officer. Yeah. So he has to get put into a riot van, goes in. So Rafa had to that night go into the police station, get Jerzy out. He's scared because the police didn't take too kind to what he'd done. And then obviously he's gone straight from there, straight to where he, and then John Adams gone and seen him and then had to deal with me as well.
So no wonder we won the league.
I was thinking, I was thinking, oh, I might have got away with this one, but no, it was,
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And at the end at Liverpool, is that right that Rafa told you on the champion? You obviously lost the Champions League final. Rafa tells you on the plane on the way back the day after, is that right?
Yeah, on the way back.
Success, come and sit next to me, or
no? He came and sat next to me. We just said, look, we've identified other targets. We feel we're able to bring him in. If you feel there's an opportunity for you to go to another club, you speak to your agent. You're able to go and explore that.
Yeah. Was that a disappointment to leave Liverpool? Obviously, being the club that you supported. No, it wasn't.
No, not at the. Not, I needed to, because I knew I was going to be more of a squad player than I was.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, we played Everton at Goodison. This was like 3-4 games in. I weren't even in the squad.
Right.
You know, and I was like,
you needed to be
a hard one to take. Yeah. And coming into like most games, I could honestly tell you, I didn't know if I was playing. Like Barcelona game quarter, I only knew an hour and a half before I was playing, and I weren't sure. So I was in that, like, you knew one or two players were going to be playing. Yeah. Like, you would have known a big part of your career. You know the team. Yeah. And you can name. You might get one or two changes. Yeah. I felt like I was one or two of those changes.
Yeah.
And I just didn't have the ability myself able to be able to adapt to that either.
Yeah.
I didn't have that. Like, it was for me all or nothing.
Yeah.
Either play or if I don't play, then I'm not wanted. Then I may as well go somewhere else. None of us were going to school. You know, I was carnage. It's shocking.
Did you feel like you were letting people down in your family around that time?
Yeah, hugely. And they moved me up early because I think they felt this is not going to end well.
A lot of the stories that you talk about, you own the challenges, mistakes, some of the things that you did wrong, but you talk quite openly since you finished football about mental health, haven't you? When did that first hit you? When did you first go and see someone where you thought, I need to see someone?
And first time I seen someone was after Gary Speed passed away. Then it was Liverpool. It was because I was at Liverpool again for my second spell.
Yeah.
The club doctor came and see me and asked me would I be interested in going to speak to Steve Peters. And I was really unsure about it.
He came to ask you to speak to him because of what happened to Gary.
Yeah, because of what happened to Gary, he knew
how you were.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure, but he sort of said like I would, I'm okay, you know, I'll deal with this. But he was like, no, you, this is really something you really need to go and do, and explain to me obviously in a better detail than what I'm able to give you right now. And so I felt, what's the harm? It's not, you know. So I went and seen Steve. And it really, like, I can't believe I weren't aware of it. I can't believe I have not been given it. We weren't given this. This wasn't part, you know, if you...
That support service wasn't in place.
Nowhere near. And even if you thought of anything like that, you were weak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like how, like, the bad habits we were taught loads of good ones. You had Eric Harrison, who was incredible, you know. You would have taught you some incredible habits for life. Yeah. But also there would have been a lot of bad things thrown in there as well, you know, that are not quite correct. But that was the psyche, that was the way of way of dealing with things, you know what I mean? Or you've got to get stronger, or, you know, it's weak to think like that. You can't laugh after games. How dare you, you know, and this type of stuff. And then actually, by then spending time with him, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't just getting over what happened with Gary, because it really hit hard. It was a lot of what's going on with me.
Things that were happening in your life through your career.
From a young age, I always felt different. I don't know if that makes sense at all. I always felt
different,
like,
in what way?
I didn't belong where I did in the area I grew up in. And I'm not saying it was a horrendously bad area. It wasn't a great area, but it wasn't, you know, I had a great childhood. But I always felt like I was a daydreamer. Do you understand what I mean?
Was that right? Left school at 10?
No.
Yeah,
14. 14. Yeah, 14.
Not that early, but...
Not that early, but it was still early.
Still quite early. So what were you doing for 2 years when you left school, like 14 to 16?
Basically what the rest of my friends were doing. None of us were going to school. You know, it's carnage. It's shocking.
How does that happen? I went to school and it was like, well, you thought you did.
John, I had no GCSEs. How big a shame is that? It was... And that's my own doing as well.
Did you say I'm not going anymore?
I just didn't see the need to it. A lot of my friends weren't going. And I followed them.
Did you feel like you were letting people down in your family around that time?
Yeah, hugely.
Did they say anything to you?
I feel they felt, like my dad brought the belt out once or twice, you know? But I feel they felt, I'm going to be Norwich's problem soon. Soon he's going to move up there.
So you were already sort of...
I was already there, yeah.
Yeah.
And they moved me up early because I think they felt this is not going to end well. It wasn't like I was a bad kid, because I wasn't. But I just felt like I'm not belonging to this. There's more to life than this. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
I seen what other people went in. Like, I'm not living here all my life. And even when my friends, I started to distance myself from my friends as well.
Yeah.
Because I'm not... There's a different world out there for me.
Yeah. Was that football then?
It was football then. It was always football. Yeah. I always felt like this is my way to be able to... Because I wanted to go and play it. The theatre of dreams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I remember when Barcelona scored, Romario scored against you, and, you know, when he went through Schmeichel's leg.
Yeah.
I remember walking down the street straight after it, like, and looking up, like that's where I want to be. You know, like all these memories that were always, and I always had that. Do you understand what I mean? It was like, this is not where I see my life being. I want to be able to, and I don't care what happens to me, honest truth. I don't care what goes on in my life. Just give me the moment at Old Trafford. Give me a chance to play at the new camp. Give me these, like, that's what I, this is what it was for me.
Yeah.
And I tried everything I could to mess it up as a young kid. But another crazy story, like, which is part of my life as well. It was like, then I was going to become a dad at 17. You know, I'm £42 a week. It was like, I better do something. You know, and if you ever felt pressure, that was pressure.
Yeah.
So football was, and injuries then had their own pressures, but that was a
so you
level.
You felt like you were playing for yourself, but also for...
I was a kid, I was a boy.
Yeah.
I was a boy who barely looked after himself. Still not that great at it now, don't get me wrong. But it was like, well, I have no choice in this anymore. You know, all the excuses I was willing to, like, blame everyone. And I was already, my story was already written. It was like, I was not playing as much in the youth team, but then I blame the coach. You know, I can go back to Cardiff then and blame everyone else, you know, and then be a good Parks player, be loved by everyone, be loved by my friends.
Yeah.
Or actually start taking responsibility and give it everything I've got. And in order to do that, distance myself from my friends. So I become hated by everyone else there, which was fine. I had to make that decision. Yeah. But also then I started to become more single-minded, more focused, slept well, ate well, drank loads of water, you know, just started to live like a professional. And my performances just went up. Now I can still have outbursts. I can still do wrong things.
Would you class yourself as being angry?
Very. You know, very, very angry. Very loving, very caring. It was just different sides of it. And I couldn't fix them all together. Do you understand what I mean? It was like, I don't know why I feel like this. My moods can turn so, like, where I couldn't get out of bed. Didn't want to get out of bed.
What point was this?
Through my injury. Because they were triggers for me.
Yeah.
So a big injury was a trigger where you've taken football away from me. Now, I can always get it. The Saturday I can focus on.
Yeah.
The week and train. And that's why I would come in really early. Yeah. That's why I'd leave really late. They were moments because it was outside of it I struggled.
Yeah.
You know, and I had an amazing wife, amazing kids. But that wasn't happy. And I weren't happy enough with that. That wasn't. And I feel so guilty I brought my wife into that as well. Where I wouldn't speak to her.
Were you a nightmare to live with?
Yeah. Completely. And I wasn't like, you know, I would distance myself because I didn't know, you know, I didn't feel loved. You understand what I mean? I always felt like I don't deserve this. And I was really harsh on myself with everything. If I played well, I didn't play well enough. Nowhere near.
Where's this come from? Did you get to the bottom of it?
My uncles and my mum suffered with depression really, really bad. My uncles have real big problems, like where they won't leave. They won't leave the house even now. Yeah, it's one's turned to drink and he stay with drink. My mum has struggled for a number of years. So I feel it was part of, which it can be passed down as well, you know what I mean? And I always felt, even from a young age, you know, like how I dealt with certain situations, how it could just, you know, I could be really happy and really good. And suddenly it just... that scared me.
Yeah.
It was like, you know what I mean? Or even being successful scared me. It was like, you know, I'd look at the negative of everything and then overanalyze it.
Right.
Into a level where I would just turn into, like, it was just going crazy. It was just going crazy.
How do you cope? Do you still get these moments now and how do you cope? Because I'm always interested that people, you know, obviously you've talked openly just here now about sort of like being low and being depressed. Do you know now when it's coming and how to cope with it and how to come out of it?
Well, that was the key, Gary, because I didn't know when it was coming. I couldn't read the signals. Do you understand what I mean? When it's like that cloud comes, it's now I can see my mood changing. So like for me, it's like having a support network is really important.
What do you do now then? When you see that cloud sort of moving towards you, what do you do?
Only about a couple of weeks I've just come over it. I say I'm probably not far off still in it a little bit.
Right.
Like it could be change of weather. Honestly, it goes that way. Like it's getting darker soon and all that. And we haven't had a great summer as well. So that's, you know, I need good weather as well. You understand what I mean?
It's a tough start of the season as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, and football's not too bad. Like I don't get involved in the, as a footballer we all did.
Yeah.
That emotional roller coaster of being up, being down. That's never great to be living at. And I try and stay away from that. I'm able to see that.
Yeah.
I'm able to like make sure like keep on top of my fitness. I've got to eat well. Like we were saying, I have a nice bath every morning up to my neck. So like my habits or
so you manage it through preventative stuff like
exactly that.
So fitness.
Yeah.
Good food.
Yeah.
Ice baths.
Yeah.
Other things that you think anything that helps you into
and talking as well. So I make sure I'm seeing a psychologist once a week.
Now.
Yeah. Well, I've not been great the last month or so. I'm blaming work, which is a poor excuse because it isn't.
Yeah.
I've just not done it. And if I don't do it, then I suffer. So I know I'm fully aware of it right now. I spoke to him even today was like, I've got to get back.
Yeah,
I've got to stay on top of that. Because my partner sees it straight away.
Yeah.
She's really encouraging as well. You know, because the people around you notice it very quickly.
Yeah.
Actually, way quicker than what you'll notice it.
Yeah.
But it's the bit, like, it's always going to be there. It's not like a magic that you're ever going to be able to. It is there, and that's what it is. But it's how you live with it, and also how you see the signs, and how then you're able to. I wouldn't say like snap out of it. I'm not saying you have to snap out of it. It's not. It's being able to actually see. Do you know what? The world's not bad. You know.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually quite good. And there's a lot of good people in it, because there's a big part. I feel there's so many horrible people in it, and I end up thinking more about them than actually the good that goes on. And that's what I try and remember.
How does it work off each other with you and Vincent? Do you have direct conversations, disagreements?
Yeah, not as much as what we used to at Anderlecht.
Well, can you sustain it from the way you are? Can you sustain this?
No. No.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everyone, I hope you're enjoying this episode. This is just a quick thank you to Skybet, our partners, for making this show happen. It's something I've wanted to do for a long, long time. Please subscribe, there's loads more episodes coming up, and I hope you're enjoying it. Right, Craig, so the last time we saw each other, we were at Burnley's training ground midsummer. You're just, I think, having your first few days of pre-season, and you walked in, typical combative front foot statement. Yeah. When are you gonna start analysing fucking football matches? Was your first words to me, I think, in 5 years. So let's talk about punditry first. Let's get off your chest what you think about punditry.
Oh, what do I it's look, I think you do a great job.
And I'm thanks for that, but
I'm always conscious of, I like the detail. Now, I'm fully aware, like, people on, like, sat at home want certain things, and, you know, I completely understand that. But when I, like, it's too easy for me to say, and I'm not saying you guys do, but a lot, I find a lot going on where it needs to work harder, needs to run more, and I also look at it, but you watching really, sometimes I'll look at stuff and see, well, like, are you seeing the same stuff that I'm seeing?
Yeah.
Sometimes we can show a lot more than what I feel we do show. And that's just probably me, maybe because when I was like in TV at the start, because I wanted to see for myself, to develop myself as well. But I felt like there was a lot of stuff I was missing. I know very little compared to being involved in the game. And once you're involved in the game, of course, you see a lot more of it, but you're a lot sharper in what's going on actually in the pitch.
Take us into a dressing room, Burnley dressing room. You're in there at the moment. How is you and Vincent company a pair? When you think, I'm thinking about your football careers now, and obviously you're completely different now, and Vincent will be completely different now. But how does that work, that compatibility between you?
We have like the same view on football. We have the same like romantic view of like
how to play.
Cruyff, Ajax, Barcelona. You know, it's very us. Like we even have this like Marseille, Bernard Tapie. You know what I mean? It's like Buller, Boxage, you know, that like, so, like, we're quite historians on football as well.
Everyone watches you at the moment and they're watching this style of play. And I've watched you against City earlier on the season, and everyone's saying, the pundits on telly, you've probably heard us or may not have heard us, you might not have watched us, but you'll be feeling it, they're going to have to change. We're all thinking, Forest last year, they had to go more direct.
Yeah.
Are you telling us here now that you're just not going to do that? You're going to stick with what you're doing?
No, no chance.
No chance?
No, we're not going to. Why would we change? Just got to get better without the ball. That's what we got to do. Just make it our lines. We're leaving too many gaps when we haven't got the ball. So what the problem is what we were really brilliant at last year. Yeah. And that's what people are talking about the football. We were the best team without the ball.
So you talk about the compactness between the front and the back.
From the front to the back. You're only as good as that.
Yeah.
That's when you're a good team. You know, if you spread out everywhere and people are doing it, then there's gaps everywhere. Second balls are only going to land to them so they can come straight at you again. So by being compact and being a unit, so it ends up working like a machine. So the one goes, the next one
goes. So
we're
not going to see a big striker being signed in January? And lumping it up to the big man?
No.
And going back to that relationship with you and Vincent, how does it work off each other? Do you have direct conversations, disagreements?
Yeah.
You see football the same, but...
Yeah, you know, you disagree. I've got to be honest, not as much as what we used to at Anderlecht. We'd have a lot of disagreements. Now I think he's right quite a lot. I'm getting more worried. I'm like, I don't think I'm improving. Because a lot of what... He's very thoughtful. I know when you've done your interview with him...
He's impressive.
He's very different. You're not dealing with a normal ex-footballer. Do you understand what I mean? The work ethic he has, which is clear.
Is it too much? Because I left that interview that day.
I thought that.
Do you know something? Because I work hard.
Yeah.
And we all, this country's, United Kingdom's based on hard work and good principles. When I thought 8 o'clock in the morning to like 10 o'clock at night, every day watching the videos, I thought, his head must be frazzled, your head must be frazzled. Yeah. Do you not feel it's too much?
Like, I remember being at Anderlecht and I said that to him. I said, you can't sustain this. You know, you also got a family as well. He's just,
Doesn't stop.
Honestly. And in the end, where you think, don't even bother. Don't even like
it. But can you sustain it from the way you are? Can you sustain this?
No.
So where does the break come there?
I got to be clever with my time. So where at Anderlecht, I wouldn't leave unless he left.
You wouldn't leave unless he left? But now you sort of say...
Now I have to, I've got to take my own little time up. So if I have 3 days off, then I'd take the 3 days. And it's also don't contact me in those 3 days.
Right.
Let me switch. Let me just...
So you're good at switching off?
Which we're never good at.
No.
You understand what I mean? But I've learned I have to be good at. I have to be able to then...
Yeah.
To work again. Because it's just... You've got to be respectful to the people around you. I'm not saying he isn't, because he very much is.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about me.
And how you look after yourself.
Yeah, for me to look after myself, but also for me to be able to appreciate the people who've been around me.
Yeah.
They need their time as well with me, you know. And I feel it isn't a balance. Don't even try and get the balance. It's not.
Yeah.
You won't get it, so that's not. Yeah. But I have to be fair as well in a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm all in. You know, whether it's my little girl Ola, then I'm all in.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's waking up with even a breakfast, going to every park, going, it's all there.
Yeah.
She gets like 100% from me. And that's what I felt with my children before as well. I wasn't good at. I was like, always on the phone.
Part-time.
And I hated that about me. I really hated that. I understand it as well. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to beat myself up completely over it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I wish I was more present. I wish I was more, you know, and because I look back at a lot of, like, say, your Lombardis and everyone, and a lot of the top sport managers, even you have one of the greatest ones.
Yeah.
And even watch one of his interviews towards the end, and he says, you know, I think it was the one when, it was his hospital letter as well. And he wished he was being a better father.
Yeah.
He wished he'd been. And I know it's very, very hard to be in court, but for me, it was all more one way, you know? And I felt like me being more present, me being able to give more time, is something I have to be able to improve. For me, for my own sanity as well, because that ends up, it eats me up. Eats me up.
Craig, that's a brilliant place to finish. Thank you for sharing some of your stories, and great to see you on the overlap.
This is not long enough.
We need to do another one, part two.